I woke up early this morning thinking about loss, feeling that in my heart a bit. Not any particular loss, but losses I've had, losses I know are coming up, losses I think might be coming up. And what came to mind is a teaching by Ajahn Chah. And I remember the teaching, but I didn't have it handy, so looking it up on the web, I found it embedded in a short article by Stephen and Andrea Levine. So I'd like to read that, and then I'll give a few comments. Once someone asked a well-known Thai meditation master, "In this world where everything changes, where nothing remains the same, where loss and grief are inherent in our very coming into existence, how can there be any happiness? How can we find security when we see that we can't count on anything being the way we want it to be?" The teacher, looking compassionately at this fellow, held up a drinking glass that had been given to him earlier in the morning and said, "You see this goblet? For me, this glass is already broken. I enjoy it. I drink out of it. It holds my water admirably, sometimes even reflecting the sun in beautiful patterns. If I should tap it, it has a lovely ring to it. But when I put this glass on a shelf and the wind knocks it over, or my elbow brushes it off the table and it falls to the ground and shatters, I say, 'Of course.' When I understand that this glass is already broken, every moment with it is precious. Every moment is just as it is, and nothing need be otherwise." And then they continue, "When we recognize that, just like the glass, our body is already broken, that indeed we are already dead, then life becomes precious, and we open to it just as it is, in the moment it is occurring. When we understand that all our loved ones are already dead, how precious they become. How little fear can interpose. How little doubt can estrange us. When you live your life as though you're already dead, life takes on new meaning. Each moment becomes a whole lifetime, a universe unto itself. When we realize we are already dead, our priorities change, our heart opens, and our mind begins to clear of the fog of old holdings and pretendings. We watch all life in transit, and what matters becomes instantly apparent. The transmission of love, the letting go of obstacles to understanding, the relinquishment of our grasping, of our hiding from ourselves. Seeing the mercilessness of our self-strangulation, we begin to come gently into the light we share with all beings. If we take each teaching, each loss, each gain, each fear, each joy as it arises and experience it fully, life becomes workable. We are no longer a victim of life. If our only spiritual practice were to live as though we were already dead, relating to all we meet, to all we do, as though it were our final moments in the world, what time would there be for old games or falsehoods or posturing? If we lived our life as though we were already dead, how much time would there be for self-protection and the recreation of ancient mirages? Only love would be appropriate. Only the truth." Brad mentioned in the Dharma dialogue a few days ago that with aging at work, one may not be quite as sharp as one was a few years ago, and I have certainly experienced that that as I age. And that feels like a loss. It's a change. It's an identity that needs to be released. I can't grasp onto that identity anymore. And that seems, sad. And there's nothing wrong with grieving a loss. Certainly, if we lose a loved one, there's nothing in our Zen teaching that says that we do not deeply grieve. But our experience expands. We can hold that grieving. Recognize grieving is an important part of being human. not something to turn away from. But what about these changes that come about as we age? There's this cliche that calls aging the sunset years. You know, you can see sunset villages and, you know, nice kind of prettified names for this process that often is not so pretty. But one time I was actually watching a sunset, and I heard that cliched metaphor, a new way. I realized that I rarely watch the sky in the middle of the day. Maybe if I'm idle and there's some interesting cloud formations. Or I may give it a glance if I want to know what the weather's doing. Or if there's a really interesting front moving in, like there was yesterday afternoon, that might be worth a little longer glance. But most of the time, I don't look at the sky much in the middle of the day, and I certainly don't sit and watch it moment from moment. The light doesn't change that much. You know, unless there's interesting cloud formations, nothing much is going on. A blue sky just stays blue, an overcast day just stays overcast. Not much to watch there. Sunrises and sunsets are different. Everything changes, moment to moment. While watching my kids grow up, they weren't the same person from year to year, sometimes even from week to week. First time lifting their head, first step, first words, learning to read, learning a sport, getting taller, getting a crush, all of this changing, shifting. The sunrise goes from dark blue to purple, to pink, to peach, to orange, to yellow, and blue again, light blue now. You watch and every moment is different from every other moment. And often it can be beautiful. The colors, patterns, changes. So how about sunset? We've been going through our prime years. Yeah, noticing aging here and there, but not so dramatically. And then we start to hit a little bit more of a slide where things change a little faster. And I'm turning 65 this year. I'm going to be applying for Medicare in a few months. So the colors start to change a little bit faster. The light starts to shift. The shadows get noticeably longer. Yellows and peaches and pinks start to appear. Then they start shading into violet and purple. That's actually interesting. Okay? It's not just something that's a victimhood loss all the time. It's also a change. Okay, I was a bright blue, and now it's tending towards a little bit of peach color in there. And so these losses come. Perhaps we can hold each moment of that change for what it is.